getting to know more of God's grace in your own life and learning how to minister that grace to others. Grace is God's, we've been saying, grace is God's favor, grace is God's blessing, grace is God's power. Grace is actually Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Grace, and he's been given to us, hasn't he, so that we can be joyful, as Anita was saying to us this morning. Let's just pray, shall we, and ask the Lord to help us this morning to really apply the word in our lives this morning. Father, we thank you that you're here today. We thank you, Holy Spirit, you've come to live in each one of us. And we thank you that you are the Spirit of Grace. You're the Spirit of power, Lord. And that there's a special calling upon each one of us, Lord, as members of the one body. But also, Lord, there's a grace that you give to us as a church, as a body too, Lord, to do your will. And we pray, help us to see how all of that works together by your grace, under your hand of grace, Lord. So, Father, lift us up, we pray this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, we were looking in, if I remember right, do you find the weeks go past real quick these days? Is time speeding up or something, or what's happening? It says at the end of Hebrews, I think it's Hebrews 12, let us have grace by which we may serve God. Doesn't it say that? Let's just quickly turn there. Hebrews, right at the end of Hebrews. Chapter 12, verse 28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace. Just say, let us have grace. By which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. So we're receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. And that kingdom is where this morning? Yeah, it's everywhere, but where is it particularly? In us. The kingdom of God is within you. Jesus said the kingdom of God is actually within you. And we have this kingdom within us and it cannot be shaken. And that's because Jesus Christ is living in us, isn't he, by his Spirit. He is the king of his kingdom, and he's living in you, and he's given you his kingdom. So you've got his kingdom within you this morning. And the word says, let us have grace. In other words, let us receive grace and live in that grace, draw from that grace in order to live the Christian life, in order to live the Christ life, so that we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. And let's go to Romans chapter 12, which we also went to last week. And I'm going to read this out of the Truth version this morning, if I may do that. Romans chapter 12, and we're just going to read this morning. It's all about grace, and I've entitled this morning's message, Grace for the One Body. Because it isn't just you or I that needs the grace of the Lord, but we as a body, as a church, need the grace of the Lord. I need grace to love you, and you probably need grace to love me. We need grace in our relationships together. We need grace to work together. We need grace to see how the gifts can actually not just function separately, but how they can actually begin to work together. It's by the grace of God. Because God brings a bunch of men and women who have come from all kinds of backgrounds, who are different in character, different in shape and size, and all different colours and cultures, and puts them together and calls them and says, this is my church. A bunch of distressed people, some of them in debt, some of them in great need. He brings them together and saves them and says, now you're my church, you're my people. And now we need the grace of God to actually make us into something. We need the grace of God to make us into a people who really reflect what he's like. And I know I can't do it on my own, and neither can you, but we can do it together as a body. We can begin to reflect or to give out the glory of God, to begin to reveal the glory of who Jesus Christ is. Not just in one person. People will see that in you, see the Christ in you, but in a very special way, the church is the vehicle of God that carries the glory of the presence of Jesus in a way that not one person can. That's the mystery of the church. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And in Romans 12, let's just read it together, and the Lord will speak to us. In the light of this, you may want to just listen to this if you don't have the truth version this morning, and just it just comes in a fresh way. In the light of this wonderful mercy God has shown us, I strongly encourage you as my brothers to give your bodies to God in living sacrifice. So the first thing we notice is God doesn't want a dead sacrifice. Some Christians walk around like they're dead. They're not a very good witness because people see the dead, see that their faith isn't alive. And so they lack the joy, they lack the power, they lack the grace in their lives, and so they're no great advert for Jesus. But God says, no, I want you to be living sacrifices. That means there's life, the life of God is flowing through our lives, and we're living as a living sacrifice. We're offering ourselves, our bodies and our lives to God as a living sacrifice. That means deny yourself and live for God. And as we do this, it says, and that we do what is holy and pleasing to him. This is the kind of worship. Oh, I thought worship was just singing songs to God. No. Worship is the bowing down of ourselves before God. And the way that we worship and honour God is through the whole of our lives. That's why the joy of the Lord isn't just about Sunday morning jumping up and down. But the word joy often in Scripture means to jump up and down. Did you know that? That joy actually literally means, in the Greek, it means to jump up and down and rejoice. That's why it's a good idea to do it. So when you see the word joy, that's what it means. It means to be excited. It means to be enthralled. It's a depth within you that you release from you. God is saying to us that he wants this kind of worship where we are living sacrifice. He really wants, and that is the outworking of the life of his Spirit who lives within us. The waters of life that Les was talking about, the rivers that are within us. And no good just having rivers within you, but those rivers need to come out of you. I like what Christina's testimony this morning. The river came out of her, so she testified or encouraged this man to pray. Who knows what's going to happen now? He may well and truly get saved now. He may find what it really means to be born again and filled with the Spirit now, because she activated some faith in him to pray and to pray to the Lord. In order to live like this, you cannot also live according to the standards of the world around you. You need a completely different mindset. Say, different mindset. God wants us to have a transformed mindset, the way that we think. And last week we spoke about how God wants to break our mindsets open, how he wants to stop our restrictions, the restrictions that we put upon ourselves and sometimes we put upon other people. He wants the church to be unrestricted. I told the story for those of you that weren't here last week about the experiment with fleas. That there was an experiment that this is a true story that they did with fleas. They put fleas in a container and stuck a lid on it. Now these fleas can, I don't know how high they can jump, but they can jump pretty high for fleas. But they stuck the lid on the fleas, and what they discovered was the fleas, when they took the lid off after a period of time, these fleas refused to jump out of the box. They'd been conditioned, they'd been programmed that this is how high they can jump and no higher. And for many of us, we as Christians restrict ourselves and we jump so high but no higher. No, God couldn't use me in that way. No, God couldn't use me in that way. No, I couldn't do this. No, I couldn't do that. And yet the Lord is saying, you can do anything when I'm in it, when I lead you. And God wants us to, I'm not talking about going crazy in ourselves. I'm talking about going crazy for God. I'm talking about doing things that the Lord directs us to do. It's called faith. And God wants us to have a transformed mind. We begin to see things, even scriptures that we've read for years and years, and begin to get a fresh insight in what it really means. Get a revelation of what that scripture means so that I'm living in the good of it. I'm putting it into practice. So we need a completely different mindset so that we are certain of God's will for our lives and are prepared to put his will into action. For his will is good. It pleases him because it is perfect. God has given me apostolic grace, Paul says, and so I can tell all of you not to think too highly of yourselves. No, have a realistic estimate of yourselves according to the faith God has graciously given to you. We spoke again last week that God gives us, there's a call of God on each one of us, and he gives us gifts of grace. He gives us a grace and gifts with that grace to do his will. And God has specific things that he wants you and he wants me to do. Amen. And he gives us grace to do them. We can't do those things without the grace of God. That's why we need the grace of God. And it says here that Have a realistic estimate of yourselves according to the faith God has graciously given to you. So that means that God has given you the grace to be saved, but he's also given you his grace with gifts attached to that grace, specific grace gifts. For example, Dave here this morning, there's a grace on his life to reach young people. That's a grace that not everyone in this room has this morning, but he has it. He lives it, he breathes it, he prays it, he talks it, because it's in him. It's a grace on his life to reach young people, to minister into young people's lives, and he's doing it. And so that grace is upon him. And God says, think according to the measure of faith that I've given to you. In other words, with that grace and those gifts, specific gifts that he's given to him to serve within the church, he's also given him a measure of faith. And as he uses that measure of faith with that grace gift, so he increases in faith and there's a growth that comes. Does this make sense? God doesn't just give us a measure of faith that's supposed to stay at that measure and say, well, that's the measure of faith that God gave me. That's the end of it. I can never do anything more than that. No, no. God says, no, use the measure of faith that you've got. And as you use it, God will cause your faith to increase. And within that, there's no end to what God can do. It's down to us, actually, how far we go with God. Is that right? But we have to move within the grace that God has given to us and the calling that God has given to us. So if it's to reach young people and there's a grace upon his life to reach young people, then God has given him the measure of faith. And as he uses that measure of faith within the confines of what God has said, his faith will increase because he's going to see fruitfulness come. He's going to see increase come. And the grace increases as well. It's the way it works for all of us. And it says here in verse, where are we now? Verse 4, is it? Every one of us has a body. Have you noticed that? Just take a quick look at yourself. Make sure you're here this morning. It says every one of us has a body with several different parts, each with its distinctive function. In the same way, all those who belong to Christ form his one body. So we all belong to him and also to one another. Just say one another. So whether you like it or not this morning, and I realise there's various people that aren't here this morning, we are a body that God has put together by his hand of grace. Yeah, I thought you'd feel about that, like that about it. And that grace is upon us so that we will love one another, serve one another, and use these gracious gifts that God's given to us and pull them together. And together we can begin to see the Lord glorified through not just me or you, but through the whole body, through the church. So we all belong to him and also to one another. As with the parts of a human body, we do not all have the same functions. We have different gifts according to the way God has appointed that his grace is to operate in our lives. Some are particularly gifted to speak prophetically, bringing a word from God to others. And we need to see that gift of grace being exercised more in the church here. It's not hard to release that gift. God, the Holy Spirit will release that gift of prophecy within the church. And it's saying here that some people he particularly uses in a prophetic way. It doesn't make them prophets. It just means that they are being used prophetically to speak prophetically. And they bring a word from God to others or into a church meeting according to the grace that is given to them and according to the measure of faith that they have. I remember the first time I brought a prophetic word to someone. I wouldn't dare have come to the front of a church meeting like this or, you know, a bigger meeting to bring it. I hardly knew anything about prophecy, but I believe God gave me this word for this one man. And it was in a little small house meeting years and years ago. And God gave me a picture of what was going on inside of him. And I thought, I've never seen anything like that before, Lord. And he showed me that this man had such tremendous inner conflict that that's what God wanted to set him free from in his mind. And people were trying to get words and different things, trying to work out what the problem, and God said, that's the problem. Then gave me a picture with it to go with it. And that was a prophetic word. And so I released this prophetic word and prayed for this man so that this man could be set free in a meeting. So I just spoke this word just one-to-one, me to him, and I prayed for him. That's the first. So I used the grace that God had given to me and spoke with the faith that God had given to me, and the man was set free. And in the same way, as we develop these different gifts that God gives to us, the gift of the prophetic gift will grow, our faith will grow as a church. Amen. So I want us to just cut the recording just for a minute. And we're going to just going to pray for one another. Is released to us so that we can serve in him in a particular way. We don't want to serve God without power, do we? We don't want to be serving God with natural energy. We want to serve God with the fire of God, with the energy of God. And Paul spoke in Romans chapter 12, I think it was. In Ephesians chapter 3 it was, where he talked about the working of his power, the gift of his grace and the working of his power. Now God has given to you, with his grace, has given you the working of his power. And that grace and power go together. God never gives you grace without power. So whenever you think of the word grace, always think of grace, favor, blessing, God's life and his power. So he gives you his grace and he releases his power to you. Now I just want us to be still for a minute. Are we still recording or not? No, just hold this for a minute. We're going to be in a position where different people who have pictures and have words, that you come up to the front and just wait to whoever's leading the meeting, and then at the right time we'll sensibly bring that in. Does that make sense? So if you have a prophetic word that's actually in keeping with where we're going in that particular meeting, at that particular time, we want to hear God speak through prophetic words. They need to be specific prophetic words, not general words, but specific things for us as a body. And this is how God speaks to us. So it says, some are particularly gifted to speak prophetically, bringing a word from God to others. The way that they are able to do this effectively depends to what extent they live by faith in God. Others have servant hearts or minister and are therefore content to serve God by serving others. So that's another area of ministry where we minister to others. We serve in a particular way. Every part of our service, stewarding here, is one of the most spiritual jobs that we have in the church. Did you know that? Well, it is. It's a spiritual job. It's not just a practical job. Because everything in the church is both spiritual and practical. That's why we need spiritual stewards. We need men and women who have a spirit to love God and serve God and serve people that come into the church. So it's not just a case of welcoming someone at the door. That's part of it. But the spirit in which it's done matters a lot. So it's a ministry. It's an area of service that we can offer, that we can do on a Sunday, where those that are stewarding are actually praying, but they pray before they come, God, use me today that I can bless the church, that I can bless those that come today, that I can have help to keep the order in the church, in the church meeting, working under Mark. And that you can even pray, as steward, you can pray, God, give me a prophetic word for some of the people that come here today. What a great thing for stewards to do. Amen. To actually receive a word or a picture for someone that's coming into the church that was going to encourage them and bless them. Amen. Eh? Praying for people, showing them to their seats. You know, all of this is the way in which we can serve and get to know people. Serving the coffee and teas at the back. It's not just a practical thing. I know Claire does it from her heart because she wants to serve people. It's a great way of meeting people and talking to people. And, you know, we can serve. God wants us to bless one. Well, there's a grace in all of that. There's a grace in that. Even teas and coffees, there's a grace in it. There's a grace to do it from our hearts as unto the Lord. Amen. And there's lots of other areas in which we can serve and bless one another. Of course there is, right the way through the week. And still others are gifted to teach God's word, and they should use this gift for the benefit of others. And it's not just teaching on a Sunday. It could be teaching someone God's word one-to-one. It could be taking a word from God that you've really got on your heart for somebody. You could text them it. There's lots of ways in which we can teach God's word, isn't there? But there's a grace upon us to do that. Some are really great at encouraging their fellow believers. And this should be recognized as a gift from God for the good of the whole body. So we're just going to practice doing that just for a couple of minutes. So just cut the recording for a minute. I just want to get out of your seat. Go to encourage one another. And there's a grace to do that. Some people actually there's a grace upon them to encourage people beyond what we would normally do. I've seen people with the gift of encouragement that is... It's a tremendous grace gift that they have, that they can encourage a person in the most dire circumstance that probably you and I wouldn't even dare to go into. But they carry this spirit of joy and encouragement and are able to bring the encouragement of God right into the middle of that prison, that situation where that person is at. But we are all called to encourage one another daily. We're supposed to encourage one another daily. Now, you can't encourage everybody in the church every day. You wouldn't have time to do that. But what you can do is you can encourage at least one person. Start at home with your husband, wife, your children, and then spread out from there. So you can encourage somebody in the course of every day. There should be someone that you're encouraging outside of your immediate family. You should be encouraging somebody else. Then that way we're thinking outside of the box. We're thinking about others. There's a grace to do it. These gifts are given for the good of the whole body. Others are called to give financially to help others, and they should give generously. There's a gift, actually, of grace that God gives certain people to give in a financial way. I'm going to be talking about more about that next week, about the grace in giving. Amen. But it's not just about giving. Giving is the outflow of something that's happened in the heart, but God actually gives grace to people to give in particular ways. Some people are great at giving practically because they haven't got any money. But they're great practical givers. They give and give and give and they go on giving. They're always giving out of the grace of God. And you know, they're not doing it by natural energy. They're doing it under the power of the Holy Spirit. And God has called us to be givers of His grace and actually to give financially as well. But there's a grace in giving. There's a grace that God gives to particular people to be big financial givers for the work of the church and His kingdom too. That's a grace that God gives for people to do that. The church needs leaders who realize the importance of their calling and so devote themselves to the welfare of those they lead. Others are people with great compassion and mercy and so need to be joyful about the way they show God's love to others. Have you ever seen someone and think, oh, I could never care for people in that kind of situation like that, and yet they seem to thrive in it? That's a grace gift. We haven't all got to try and do the same thing as everybody. We can't be everybody. We've got to be who we are and what God's given us the grace to do, and cherish and value the gifts of grace that are in other people's lives. Amen. And let it rub off onto us as well. But this is what the body is all about. God gives us His grace to be the one body. For we must be sincere about the way in which we love others from the heart. God wants us to love others from the heart, amen, not simply as a duty. We should hate anything that God regards as evil, but love what He considers good. Amen. As members of the same body, we are to be devoted to one another. Just say devoted. Devoted. It says that we are to be devoted to one another. Devoted to one another. Just say it again. Devoted. Say devoted to one another. Because it's saying here that we are members of the same body, there's a grace upon us, we are to be devoted to one another, loving each other as members of the same family. This involves honouring others above yourselves, above ourselves, and always being eager to serve the Lord by doing whatever He asks of us and doing it with all of our hearts. You know, when God looks in any church, but when He looks into us as a church, what's the first thing He's looking for? He's looking for our hearts and... Did you say that, Sylvia? Uh-huh. Our hearts. He's looking for our hearts, and He's looking for the love of God in our hearts for Him and for one another. That's the first thing that He looks for. He's not looking for the quality of how well Giovanni played the keyboard this morning. He's not looking about the best voices. He's looking at the heart of each one of us, and then He looks at the heart of the church. And God is speaking to us at the moment. He's saying there's a grace that He's given to us as a body, and that we need to deal with anything that hinders the flow of His love amongst us. We must be sincere about the way in which we love others from the heart, not simply as duty. See, we know that we're supposed to love one another. We know we're supposed to be loving towards one another, but God says, no, but I want it to be from your heart, so that you love generously from the heart, that there's a deep, deep love of God in your heart for the other members of the church, other members of the body here. We should hate anything that God regards as evil, but love what He considers good. As members of the same body, we are to be devoted to one another, loving each other as members of the same family. This involves honouring others above yourselves and always being eager to serve the Lord by doing whatever He asks of us and doing it with all of our hearts. Amen. We are also, listen to this, to radiate joy. Amen. Because we are a people of hope, Whenever we have to suffer affliction, we are to bear it patiently, and we will be faithful in prayer. We will be a people who love to give, sharing our resources with God's people who are in need and welcoming others into our homes. As members of Christ's body, you are to bless those who oppose you because of your faith. Yes, bless them. Do not resent or curse them. There will be times when you need to rejoice along with those who are happy and blessed, but other times when you will share in the grief of those who are mourning. It is an essential witness that we are seen to live in harmony with one another. Now listen, God is speaking to us this morning. This is a word that God gave me for us as a church. Say, grace for the one body. We are to love one another, serve one another, let those grace gifts work, but we are to be in harmony. It says it's an essential witness that we are seen to live in harmony with one another. Amen. When I play my guitar, quite regularly recently, when I take the guitar out of its case and have strummed the various notes, there's always at least one that's gone out of tune, and they are not in harmony together. This word harmony means to be of one accord. It means literally make a sound that sounds together, even though they're different notes. But when they sound together, they sound of one accord. They make a good sound. God's saying, this is what I want from my church. This is what he wants from us, that we make the same harmonious sound. We're all different, but because we're one with God, we're all different. But because we're right with him and we love him and we love one another, there's a harmony of the Holy Spirit between us. Such unity is destroyed by pride. So we need to deal with any pride in our hearts. Well, there's a grace God will give to you to deal with pride in your heart. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and then repent of that sinful, prideful thought or attitude and turn away from it quickly and get back into that place with God, because pride destroys unity. Such unity is destroyed by pride. So we will not be proud, but willing to show God's love to anyone, regardless of who or what they are. And we will not be conceited. Do not retaliate when anyone offends or hurts you. Do you ever get offended? Do you ever feel hurt? Well, the Bible says, don't retaliate when anyone offends or hurts you. Make sure that others can see clearly that you do what is right. You see, if you're dead, the Bible says that we've been crucified with Christ. If we've truly died to ourselves, then when people say things or do things that hurt or offend us, that will show you how much you're really living in the resurrection life of Jesus, or whether you're still living out of yourself. Does that make sense?
Yes.
How you react will show you how much you're living in the risen Christ, the risen Lord, and how much you're living out of yourself. It will show you a lot of things. And that's not to condemn anyone, but it's to show us we need to live out of here, where we can quickly deal with those offences very quickly and forgive and move on. Make sure that others can see clearly that you do what's right, and always live at peace with others as far as this is possible. There is no point in taking revenge. You are to forgive, my friends, not judge others. That's God's prerogative. Wow. See, God wants us to be free. And he's giving his word that if we apply this into our lives, we can walk free. We can walk free of offense, we can walk free of hurt, we can walk free of judging others, because we're walking under the grace of God. And that grace that God gives to us isn't just about giving us gifts, that grace is to enable us to walk in victory towards one another. Amen.
Amen.
Let's go to the letter of John. I'm going to wrap this up around this scripture, 1 John 1. And do you know what I believe that God spoke to me about this morning? Something that we're to do in the church here. If there is anything at all that you have that's a problem between you and another person in the church, then make this week a week of resolution. That makes sense?
Yeah.
If you have an issue with somebody else or someone has an issue with you, seek to peaceably make it right this week. If you know there's some things that just aren't right between you and somebody else, then seek this week to make it right. At least make it right on your part. If that makes sense.
Amen.
Because God says this is hindering the unity of the Spirit in the body. This is hindering the unity of the church. Is the Bible talks in Song of Solomon, it talks about little foxes beware of the little foxes. It doesn't say the big foxes. It doesn't say that it's something huge. Little foxes creep in amongst the vines and spoil the vines, is what it actually says. And we need to be watchful, because the enemy comes round and he sneaks, quietly comes in with, almost unnoticed, and begins to eat away at the vine, eat away at the fruit, and causes, just through a little thing, can cause offence, and something can begin to spring up that troubles not just one or two people, it begins to trouble a whole bunch of people. And the devil's got no new tricks. He always works the same way. It's to divide, it's to isolate, it's to cause people to split off, and then there's disunity, at least between some of the body. And God is saying, I believe the Lord is saying, listen, I'm talking about grace today, that my grace and my mercy that's towards you will enable you today or this sometime this week. If you know there's somebody that you're not right with, or there's some disunity there, seek to put it right, at least on your part. Go and talk to them. Go and pray for them. Great. And if there's an issue that you can't resolve, come and speak to me and we'll resolve it together under the grace of God. Come and speak to one of the leaders, but we'll resolve it together by prayer and it'll be done. Amen? Amen. Let's just read this in 1 John, can we? 1 John 1, verse 1. I want to tell you about the word of life. He existed before time began. I and the other apostles heard him, saw him with our eyes. Yes, we looked at him and even touched him with our hands when he became a man and lived among us. The one who is life itself appeared. We saw this life, and I can testify to what he did. We tell you clearly that he is eternal life. He was with the Father in heaven, and he came and revealed himself to us. So we speak to you of what we have seen and heard, for we are first-hand witnesses. We tell you these things so that you may share in his life with us. See, we're to share the life together, the life of Christ. Yeah, we share in the life of the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, and it gives us great joy to tell you about these things. This is the message, the revelation that we heard from him and now revealed to you. God is light. Just say, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all, and if we claim to share in his light and yet walk in spiritual darkness, we only lie and do not live according to the truth. So what God is saying today is, he's saying, deal with any hypocrisy, any pride that's lurking in there somewhere that causes us to have some darkness inside of ourselves that hinders us in our fellowship with other believers, other Christians, other people in the church. God wants us to be an open book. He wants us to be like glass, transparent, that the light of God can shine out of us, and people, we have fellowship with people because we're living in a transparent way. And the Lord is saying, don't tolerate, we spoke about this a few weeks ago, don't tolerate sin, don't tolerate wrong attitudes, don't tolerate wrong things, wrong habits in your life. Kick them out of court. Get rid of them in the name of Jesus. Deal with them. Amen? Amen. Deal with the things that hinder. And the grace of God will come when we turn to him. The grace of God will come upon us and will release to us the victory of Jesus over those issues that are hindering us. God is light, in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to share in his light and walk in spiritual darkness, we only lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, just as he is in the light, we share in his life together. That's what fellowship is. Amen. So if I spend some time with Bob, we go swimming together, we have fun together, we pray together, we share life, some life together. If I'm walking in the light with Bob, then there'll be nothing hidden between him and me. So we have fellowship, not friendship, just friendship between the two of us, but we have the most important friend, Jesus, who's standing between us. And he's the reason for our fellowship. He's the one that actually gives us more than human friendship. He gives us something very deep. And this is what the Lord wants in the whole church. He wants depth of friendship and depth of fellowship. You can't be a friend to everyone in that at that depth, but there'll be people that God puts you together, and if we have that together in this body, and we don't allow darkness in our lives, then we can walk free and unhindered, and we will walk in the light with one another. If we walk in the light just as he is in the light, we share in his life together, and the blood of Jesus his Son purifies us from all sin. from everything we have done against his will. You know, some years ago, I had a man ring me on the phone. And he said to me, Paul, I'm just ringing you up just to ask you to forgive me. So I said, what of? What's the problem? I knew there was nothing between, from my position towards him. He said, I'm ringing you up because I've had a really bad attitude towards you. And it went back years. I had no idea about it. But I'd often wondered when we met together what it was that had come between us. I could never work it out except that we weren't close like we were once close. Something had come between us. And he had the guts and the humility to ring up, older man than I was, and say, I'm sorry I had a bad attitude towards you. Will you forgive me? I said, of course. Of course. And I just prayed. We just prayed together over the phone. It was done. Sorted. That quick. Didn't take more than a few minutes. It was sorted and done. And the Lord is saying to us today, he said, let there be light between us so that my grace can come upon you as a body. Grace for the one body. The blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin, from everything we've done against his will. This does not mean that we never sin. If we claim such a thing, we only deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Yet if we are honest with him and confess our sins, he then forgives our sins and purifies us from everything that is not right to his eyes. In his eyes. He is always faithful and just to do this. If we claim we have no sin and therefore have no need of forgiveness, that is tantamount to calling God a liar and is evidence that the truth of his word has no place in our lives. God wants us to love him and love one another. And out of that love, we can love a lost world, can't we? Amen. Out of that purity. Let's all stand, shall we? Let's stand to our feet. And hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Thank
praise
you, Lord.
You. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. We've been speaking today about the grace of God, grace for one body. As gracious gifts that God gives to us, he wants us all to be serving him in this church. Differing gifts. But the real issue that he wants to speak to us about is our hearts. And the Lord is saying to us what perhaps he said many weeks ago now, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. That he may exalt you and lift you up, that his grace might come upon you. He gives grace to the humble. Resist the devil, submit yourself to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you when you humble yourself in this way. And the Lord is speaking to us this morning, has been speaking to us about unity. He wants unity in the whole of the church, unity amongst the leadership in the church, unity right through the whole body, unified with him, that there be nothing between us. And if you know this morning there are things that you're holding back, there's things that you need to speak to someone, even if there's things that you need to speak to me about as the pastor, the leader of the church, then don't hold back, but make a time to come and talk and just be open, because God wants there to be light between all of us in the church. If you know there's someone else that has offended you, forgive them. Even before you speak, forgive them. If there's a long-standing issue, you know, there's not that fellowship that should be there, then seek to make it right, seek to have it right, so that the Holy Spirit, by his grace, can do what he wants to do with us as a church, as a body. He doesn't want a bunch of bricks in the church. He wants a building that he can flow between, doesn't he? He doesn't want us just to have this individual walk that never touches other people's lives in the church, but he wants us to walk together as a body by his grace. Let's lift our hands to the Lord this morning. Father, we thank you. Just begin to thank him again for his grace towards you today. His grace towards you today. His grace towards you today. The Bible says, let love be without hypocrisy. Let your love be pure. Don't allow any pride in your heart to come up, to rise up. Put it under your feet today. Don't allow any little fox to come and steal away what God is speaking this morning.
you know that this thing's been taken from you, seek, put them right with God first of all. Talk to the Lord about it. Ask for his blood to wash you and cleanse you if that's something that you need to do. And then just make a commitment this morning. Lord, I'm going to put this right. I'm going to seek to be right with this other person, this brother, or this sister, this friend in the church. I'm going to be right with them too. Father, thank you for your grace today, Lord. Thank you for your grace today. Just receive that grace afresh into your heart from the Lord this morning. The grace to put things right. The grace to make things right. The grace to walk in the light so that we have fellowship one with the other. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, will cleanse us from all sin. Wash us completely. As we walk in the light with God, and as we walk in the light with one another. Father, I just pray right now, let your Spirit come right now, Lord. Lord, convict us of anything that is wrong in our hearts that we've allowed just to bubble under there, Lord. We bring it out into the light before you this morning, Lord. And Father, we make a decision today. We will address any issues, any things, Lord, that we have this morning. And if it's to do with others, Lord, which it normally is, then Father, we're going to put that right. We're going to begin to pray for that other person, Lord. Begin to have things right between us so that we walk in the light. We're dedicated. We, Lord, your word says that we're to be devoted to one another in love. Father, this morning I would be devoted to you and devoted to this body. In the name of Jesus. Can we just say that prayer together? Lord, I'm going to be devoted to you, Lord Jesus, to love you with all my heart, and to be devoted to this body, to be devoted to this church, to be devoted to one another. Lord, I call upon your grace today. Release your grace, Lord, that today and this week, in your grace, I can walk in the light and have fellowship with others. Where there's been difficulties, Lord, you remove them out of the way. Every obstacle, Lord, removed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Cause us to walk in the light together. Make us unified, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.